Genesis chapter 15. I want to make a quick announcement as you're turning over there to Genesis 15. The Spanish ministry is going to be doing an outreach in Meadows Mobile Home Park. This is at 4825 Astrazon Boulevard. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to Pastor Sanchez or talk to Javier, who's translating tonight. That's going to be on Saturday between 1 and 4. There's going to be hot dogs, foods, testimonies, and I'm sure we're going to stir up some devils, so it's going to be an exciting time. Come out and support this outreach if you can. We also have flyers out there if you're interested in that. That'll be this Saturday from 1 to 4. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, just want to give a quick shout out to my 17-year-old daughter who has had her birthday today. Amen. I told her I was going to sing happy birthday to her, but I don't want to embarrass her or myself. Amen. So I just want to give a shout out. You know, 17 years ago, I was one of the happiest men on this earth. That was one of the happiest days of my life. And she has brought so much joy to my life. She's just such a wonderful girl. So I just wanted to wish her happy birthday. Tell her happy birthday before you go. If you want to give her a Pentecostal handshake, that's up between you and her and the Lord. Amen. If the Holy Spirit puts that on your heart, amen. Hallelujah. We're gonna look at something here tonight that God put on my heart. And I'm not going to be very long tonight, but I was going through my devotions probably about 3 weeks ago. And I came across this devotion on Psalm 42. And there was one phrase that stuck out in this devotion, in this passage of Scripture, and it was, deep calls to deep. And then I believe it says in the ESV version, deep calls to deep. And that just kind of rang in my spirit. I just kept hearing it over and over, deep calls to deep. And we'll look at that here in a few minutes, but it's basically the psalmist, I believe it's David, and David's going through some serious difficult times in his life where he's overwhelmed by the pressures of life. Depression is on him. I mean, he's in deep waters. And I began to think about that, and I thought there's something about being in deep waters, even though it might be something that's terrible or it's bad and something you would never want to go through. But in those moments, I began to think, in those moments, God can still do something, and you'll discover something that you never otherwise would have discovered had you not gone through that. And nobody wants to go through deep waters. When we talk about deep waters, we're talking about a lot of times losing somebody. When I can look around this place and just so many people that have lost a loved one. I look to them, and I've never lost anybody that close to me. Of course, you know about Pastor Ben losing his 6-month-old baby, and that was terrible to go through that, to watch him go through that. And I don't know what it is, amen? How many has ever heard that saying? Until you've walked a mile in another man's shoes, you just don't know how they feel or how they're dealing with that set of circumstances. And I look around at people, and I'm just amazed at how, even though they went through that difficult time, somehow they were anchored to God, anchored to the cross. They were anchored to something because they began to drift possibly during that moment, but all of a sudden they felt that tug, and it brought them back. And I'm amazed at certain people that have lost, they've gone through deep waters, others that have gone through divorce, others that have been to jail, others that are struggling with an addiction. I mean, there's all kinds of different scenarios that could be deep waters. And I may be speaking only to a handful of people in this place tonight that are possibly in the middle, in the throes of something that's just, I mean, the storms of life are just shaking them. Might only be a handful of people. As I was thinking about when to preach this, I was thinking, you know, the timing's not right. It's not going to speak to very many people. But the truth of the matter is, there's so many people in this place that at some time or another, you know somebody that was close to you that went through it, or you've been through it, and if you haven't been through it, you're going to go through it. So you have to know how to deal with these circumstances and what to do. And that particular phrase, deep calls to deep, it's when you're going through something deep that you have to dig deep, and that's where you find revelation from God, you find truth, and you find God strengthening your faith. And God does something very special in those deep, dark moments. I want to look at two people that in biblical history are very well known two giants of faith. One actually is the father of faith, Abraham. I want to look at Abraham. I also want to look at King David. But let's look at Genesis chapter 15 if we could. And I want to read chapter 1 through 21. It's kind of lengthy, but we'll just go through it real quick. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward." Aren't you thankful today for a word from God that we don't have to be afraid, that he'll protect us, amen, that he's our reward. He's there on the other side. Verse 2, "But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir." And that's why we're still dealing with terrorism today, because of Ishmael. "But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Verse 5, "Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." That's powerful right there. He simply believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Look at verse 7. "Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer." Now watch this as this begins to unfold. God's about to make a covenant with Abraham. "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." "Then he brought all these to him, and he cut them in two." Now I want you to see the symbolism of what's taking place here, and then we'll break it down. "Cut them in two, down the middle, placed each piece opposite of the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses," one translation says the dirty birds came down, the birds of prey, "and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram," and look at pay attention to verse 12, "and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, will serve them. They will afflict them for 400 years. Also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." Verse 16, "But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity," amen, "of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying," and we'll just stop there at verse 18. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help. Holy Ghost, we need your direction. We come into this place today, God, looking for answers, seeking help, God, seeking you, seeking the face of God. God, you see every person in this place. You know every heart. We pray today, God, that you would penetrate this shell that we have on the outside and touch the heart, God. Deal with the heart. Lord, we have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Let us leave this place changed and transformed by the power of God. We yield to you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. So darkness, let's talk about darkness for just a few minutes. There's times that can in our life that can only be described as darkness, feelings of being completely lost. Sometimes it's even like Job. Job, we're not going to go into Job, but Job lost everything. Man, he lost everything. Everything that he worked so hard for, he had lost his family, his kids, and he begins to question God. Have you ever been at that place where you're saying, where's God? Where is God in this? What is God trying to teach me? How is it that a good, loving God could allow something like this to happen to me? That's okay. Amen. We're humans. We have emotions. There's going to be times where we begin to question certain things like that. And this darkness, many times, it's something that can't be explained unless you've felt it. And that's what I mentioned earlier. Unless you've walked a mile in another man's shoes, you'll never understand it. So here we have this image of Abram, and he's in this moment of darkness. Verse 12, horror or great darkness fell upon him. So here we have a picture of the depth of darkness. Abraham is standing before a God that he cannot see. Think about this. He's calling him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He begins to show him his future and this great destiny from a God. That's why it says he simply believed and it was accounted to him righteousness. That's powerful to believe in something that you can't see. Amen. And so he's experienced this tremendous darkness. He takes this sacrifice. He splits it in half. One part is on one side. The other is on the other. Here's an illustration. It's symbolic of the past and the future. And I believe we can also say tonight that it's an illustration of something that's been broken, been separated, been ripped apart. And if you've ever lost a loved one, if you've ever lost a child, you've ever lost a husband, you know what that feels like. That separation, that brokenness, being ripped apart. It could be a broken relationship, financial devastation, and the depth of despair can be unimaginable. See, as I'm preaching, some of you are thinking and the wheels are turning and you're going back to that moment. It's not a fun thing to go back to. Amen. Thank God that God has brought you out or God is going to bring you out of that. So the sacrifice is killed. The life is sucked out of it. Amen. The life, you ever felt like the life has been sucked out of you? It's important that we catch a glimpse of this imagery here. He's overwhelmed by despair. And he takes this sacrifice and he lays it before God. That's what God wants us to do. God doesn't want you to lay it before a psychiatrist, a psychologist. Lay it before your friends. Amen. No doubt there are times when certain things can be of benefit to us. But I'm telling you, when you're going through the darkest moments of your life and you don't know, you're just trying to get one step in front of the next. One step in front of the next. One day from day to day. How are you going to make it until next Sunday? And when you're going through all these things, can I tell you something? You have to lay it before God. He takes the sacrifice. He lays it before God. It's symbolic of something broken. He's in limbo. He feels lost. He don't know what to do. And he brings it to God. Bring it to God. Lay it before God. Then something interesting happens. It says in verse 11 that the birds of prey come down on the carcass and they try to steal the sacrifice. Some of you have heard Pastor Jones preach this, that this is symbolic of the demonic strategies of hell, that when you lay that sacrifice down, when you lay that down before God, the devil's going to send demonic powers and strategies and the lies of the hell to take that sacrifice. This comes in the form of thoughts. It comes through people. It comes through false doctrine. And all I can say about that tonight is Satan is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. When we take this bloody, lifeless sacrifice that's torn in two, just like these birds, he smells blood. And the reason he wants to steal that sacrifice is because he knows that God's about to do a miracle. And that's something that we need to know. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, when you lay that down and the devil begins to come after you and you're thinking, you know what, I just might as well give up. God's about to do something. Amen. God is about to do something great, to do a miracle. And Abraham drives off the birds of prey. And here's what I want you to see that's so important is that God will show up on time. We want on time to be right now. I mean, I'm drowning in this thing. I mean, I don't feel like I could take another breath. I mean, I'm going to die. And God still doesn't show up, but I'm going to tell you, God does show up, and he shows up on time because he's an on-time God. Look what it says in verse 17 in the ESV, when the sun had gone down and it was dark. And that's where some people are today. Behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces, and on that day, verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. That's powerful. You know what that is? That's God showing up. That's God showing up in his darkness as the sacrifice is laid there, as the birds of prey are coming, as he's wondering what is going on. I'm overwhelmed by this darkness. All of a sudden, the Bible says a flaming torch passes through. That flaming torch today, in our vernacular, in our modern day situation, is no one but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the light. He'll step into your situation. No matter what you're going through, I'm telling you, Jesus shows up. He's the light. And I'm going to tell you that it doesn't matter what darkness you're facing. You feel hopeless. You feel despair. You feel depressed. You have all these things going on. And I'm telling you tonight that there's no darkness that will not bow to the light of Jesus Christ. God makes this covenant with Abraham. And basically what he's saying is, Abraham, it's not over. It's not over. Somebody said, we're not the author of our story. We're just the characters. The author of our story is God Almighty. Bible says before he created you, he knew you. Amen. That's powerful. God had a destiny. God had a plan. God knew everything that was going to take. As these things begin to unfold, it does not take God by surprise. He's the author. Amen. And if he's writing your book and you feel like he's about ready to close the last page on your book, can I tell you something? It's not over. He's just starting a new chapter. God's about to do something new. God's about to give you a new morning. God's about to restore your joy. God's about to restore your passion. Amen. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 42. And I want to look at David. Psalm chapter 42. We'll just start in verse 6. Man, I hope they have Manilo in heaven. Dave was talking about heaven. I thought, man, I hope they have Manilo in heaven. I'm just giving you time to find Psalm 42. I was at the Chinese restaurant over here, the Great China Buffet, and they had Manilo at the Chinese restaurant. I thought, how many Chinese restaurants are serving Manilo? But then I heard some of the Mexicans in the back that were cooking. And I thought, this is going to be good menudo. I have me some good menudo. I saw Nacho in there on Sunday. I said, Nacho, why is it that I have to come to the Chinese restaurant to get menudo? You're going to have to put in a word to the Spanish ministry. Amen. I need menudo. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 42, verse 6. And here's David. And if you can just kind of hear his cry, relate it to your story. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Then it says in verse 7, deep calls unto deep. That's that phrase that just I couldn't get away from it. It's like God was trying to say, you know what? Yes, you're going through it. You're not the only one going through it. But yes, you're going through some deep times. But out of this, I'm making you. I'm forming you. I'm shaping you. I'm doing something in your faith. I'm doing something that I'm bringing an understanding. I'm bringing light to things that before you were blind to. Deep calls unto deep. When you're in those deep moments, I'm telling you something. You get down to pray in 10 minutes. You've been praying for an hour, and it only feels like 10 minutes. There's a desperation trying to reach up and touch the hem of his garment, trying to get a hold of God. And it says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So all of a sudden you see, here he is, he's cast down, he's overwhelmed with this darkness, this problem, this depression, whatever it is, and then he begins to turn and says, you know what, even though all this is happening, you're still God. I may not be able to see it, amen, I may not be able to feel it, but I know that you're still the God, amen, that gives peace, that gives joy, and that restores. I will say to God, my rock, verse 9, why have you forgotten me? Here he goes again. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. Man, they talk bad about me. They gossip me. They don't even know what's going on in my life or my situation. And everybody's murmuring and talking. My enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Oh, where's your God now? How many know what I'm talking about? Why are you cast down? Oh, I thought you was the preacher. I thought you was the, oh, I thought you was an elder in the church. Oh, I thought you was in ministry. I thought you were doing this. Oh, but now where's your God? Why are you disquieted within me? And then he says, hope in God. Something about David. David, man, he, what an amazing man. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Here are two men in the Bible that are very familiar with us. David is a giant killer. David, when nobody else wanted to fight David, David went up against Goliath. It's not just a kid's story. I mean, that's powerful. Not with a big sword, not with the training of an elite soldier, but with a sling and five stones and the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he goes up against this giant. What a powerful anointing he must have had on his life. He's experienced the power of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but here he feels the despair of darkness in the weakness of his flesh because David was a man. David was a human just like you. He was not superhuman, amen, but he was human that served the super God. We're all human in this place. David in this psalm is human. He's discouraged. He's empty. He feels hopeless, depressed, afraid. King David. Just a perfect example that, you know what, life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. But you go on to read about David, and you can read Psalm 51. David had his mountaintops, and he had his valleys. He went through the difficult times. He failed. But I love the fact that in Acts it says David was a man after God's own heart. So I don't care what you've done, where you've been, or how low you've fallen. This goes for all of us in this place. It goes for anybody. There is a God that redeems. And man will push you down. Man will hold you down. Man will point fingers at you. Man will judge you. Man will turn his back on you. Man will condemn you. But thank God, we don't have to answer to man. We answer to God. And we serve a redeeming God. We serve a God, amen, that when the woman that was caught in the act of adultery is brought before Jesus, and that he says, those of you that have something against her, cast the first stone. If you have sin, cast the first stone. They drop their stones. They walk away. And he says, where's your accusers? And she looks up, and there are none there. And here's the God I serve. Here's the Jesus you serve. He says, neither do I condemn you. That's tremendous. He's a good God. He's a redeeming God. And God redeemed David. And I'm telling you something. There is a torch that will walk through that sacrifice. That's the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ, that in our darkest moment, he will show up. That God will redeem. That he is that light. 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So we have a choice tonight. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going to be facing at some point down the road, whatever that trial, that tribulation, the bottom line is this, and I've said this before, you can either be the victim, and I'm amazed at how so many people fall into that victim role, and they love it. They're so miserable in it, but they somehow love being the victim. So you have a choice. You can either be the victim or you can be the victor. And the only way to be the victor is through Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. I choose victory. I'm not going to stay in that dark area. I'm going to claw my way out of that darkness with the help of Jesus Christ. Not on my own effort. Not by my own efforts. Amen. Isaiah 43:1-2, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Hallelujah. That's a word from God for somebody. And if it's not for anybody in here, amen, it's for me. I'll take it. I receive it. Can you say amen? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place in reverence to God. Thank God for his mercy. The Bible says his mercies are made new every morning. I've always wanted to preach a sermon 24 hours because the sun rises every 24 hours. You ever gone through and just had the worst day of your life? And it's just like you woke up and had no idea that all those things were going to happen that day. And by nighttime, you're thinking, man, all these things have happened. And you're laying there in your bed, and whatever has happened, you just, man, that was the worst day of your life. The good news is that tomorrow the sun's going to come up again. And whatever darkness you're going through, whatever hard time you're going through, all I can tell you tonight is that the sun's going to come back up. His mercies are made new every day. That's the hope of Jesus Christ. We don't want to preach a sad, depressing Jesus. We serve a Jesus, amen, that's a restoring Jesus. He's a redeeming Jesus. He's a Jesus. He's a God of second chances, a God of third, fourth, and fifth chances. He's a God, amen, that will not ever, ever, ever turn his back on you. No matter how many times you turn your back on him, he's always there. And you might be in this place tonight and think, you know what, I've messed up too much. You don't know what I've done. I've betrayed others. I've betrayed myself. I've got this thing that I'm ashamed of. God doesn't look at you like that. God loves you. That's the amazing thing about God's love. And if we can ever grasp that and comprehend that, we'll turn to him completely and 100% and know that he's a forgiving God. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place today, it's not by accident that you're in this place today, but I believe that God brought you here. And it's not by accident that I preached this message. I believe this was an on-time message, and God's speaking to somebody in this place. You feel like you've walked through this thing for so long, and there's no end to the valley. And I love what Rick told me one time when I was going through a difficult time in my life, and he says, the Bible says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, Dustin, it's just a shadow. In other words, it's not over. God's not done writing your book. God's not done writing your story. And you come into this place and you feel like, man, you've been walking through this for so long. When am I going to see the light at the end of the tunnel? Don't give up on God. This message is for you tonight. God's going to meet somebody in this place today. How many all over this place would say, you know what, I've got things in my life tonight that they're not right with God, and tonight before I leave, I want to make it right with God. I want to repent. I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to be made right. If that's you, quickly put your hand up and put it right back down. You say, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. How many more honest hearts you say, that's me? I need God. I need his forgiveness. I just need to get my heart clean with God. God bless you. Honest hearts in this place today. Then, of course, we're just going to open up the altar. Amen. This doesn't necessarily have to do with just what I'm talking about, because like I said, it's probably only a handful of people. But, you know, there's other things that you might be dealing with that it would benefit you to find a place at the altar. Whatever that is, I'm telling you, God can do more in 5 minutes than you can accomplish in a whole week of worrying about it. Lay it before God. Give it to God. So let's all stand to our feet in this place today. Amen. We're going to open up these altars as we begin to sing this song tonight. Let's just find a place. Let's pray. Let's just give it to God. Turn it over to God.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.